You ever have one of those times when the Lord just kind of just rocks you back on your heels? Amen? That happened right here Sunday night. If you weren't here Sunday night, I'm sorry. Because you really missed out. The service was over. I'd prayed. I had closed the service. Everything was basically done. I was praying for Benny. He came up and wanted me to pray, and so I did. And when I was done, a young lady was watching us on the internet, and I was talking about depression and anxiety in this song that we had been singing about I Speak Jesus. And this little gal, unbeknownst to me or anybody else, was sitting at her house watching on the internet. And the Lord told her, you need to get out of your house, go to that church, and get prayed for. And so she did. Now, this little gal has not been out of her house in 8 weeks. 8 weeks. She just lost her father, and some other family members had passed away a few months before, so just overcome with grief and despair. And I was talking about those very things, and so she came. And listen, I hope she comes back to church, because you can ask her this story, because this is what she said. She said she parked in the parking lot and was on her phone watching our service in her car, on the phone, looking at me through the glass. And she said she was going to get out of her car, but her heart was just racing. And she said, all of a sudden, my car shut off. My door flew open, and I was dragged out of my car. Except there was nobody there. And she came in here, and Michelle, she made eye contact with Michelle. And Michelle said, listen, if you want to go to the front, I'll go with you. Any long story short, they came up here. We got to lead her to Jesus. We got to pray for her. We got to anoint her and believe that the depression and the anxiety was just going to be gone. I mean, you could see a change in her countenance just in the time that we were here with her. And so we're so grateful for what God does. And so to all of you that may be watching tonight on the internet, I appreciate you being there and watching, and I pray that you get blessed as well. Amen. Come on down. It shocked me that somebody on the internet was, I mean, I know we've got it there, and I know that it's going out, but isn't that amazing? I'd have never done that. I'd have never had that camera staring at me had it not been for COVID. I would not have done it. I was against it. But when it's the only avenue that you have, you take whatever road you can get. And Fred said, we can do this. And so we just began. And there's no point in stopping now if it's reaching souls and people are getting touched. I just wanted to share that with you tonight, because to me it's a clear indication that the Lord is blessing this ministry in this house. And I do that because we overcome by our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And it's interesting tonight that as I was coming into the church, I got stopped by someone that said, listen, haven't been there for a long time and I miss you guys a little bit. A little bit. Well, why a little bit? Well, because I can't worship there anymore. I go to church, but I've found that I don't have to be in a building. And And I said, well, that's interesting. And besides that, he said, you let too many wolves in amongst your sheep. And I said, huh. And also, you do too much pagan worship in this church. And I said, well, what are we doing that's pagan worship? Well, you had a Christmas tree up at Christmas. And that's a pagan ritual symbol. And you hide eggs around in there for the little kids on Easter, and that's another just a pagan ritual. And I said, listen. I said, we're not worshiping a rabbit. We're not worshiping a Christmas tree or Santa Claus. I said, it's a means to an end. They are a means to an end. How many people, how many kids did we minister to under that Christmas tree this year that would probably not have gotten ministered to had it not been for the generosity of this church wrapped around an event that we call Christmas? It's not the method, it is the message. You're exactly right. And if some little kid will get excited about finding an Easter egg laid out in broad, wide open, I mean, listen, this is not an Easter egg hunt, it's a gathering. It is a gathering, man. All you're doing is gathering eggs. And I was a little bit stunned by this whole conversation. And so, as the retreat begins, I said, I don't think we're letting wolves in and worshiping pagan gods and all those kinds of things, but I said, on your point of not having to come to church in a building, I said, you might want to consider the scripture that says that we're not to forsake the fellowshipping together one with another. Because singled out, separated, and isolated, you're a prey for the enemy. I think that there's going to be more and more attacks where we're going to be attacked. Remember the scripture, it's not a flesh and blood thing, it's spiritual. Principalities, powers in heavenly places. And we've got to be ready. We've got to fight the good fight. And the very supreme example of ministry must always be Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle said this, I have become all things to all men that I might by some means win one. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's pretty close. Is that not what we should be doing? If we can do something to minister to somebody, I think we ought to do it. I'm not saying we need to worship pagan gods and all that kind of stuff. That's not at all what I'm saying. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 27, I am among you as he that serves. How can we serve one another? How can we serve other people? How can we be a blessing to those that God brings our way? Jesus came first of all to minister to the Jews that through Israel he might be able to minister to the Gentiles. And remember who the Gentiles were. They were considered dogs. But even the woman at the well, Jesus took time. It was completely uncultural for what Jesus did. He ministered to a woman by himself, which was taboo. And she was a Samaritan woman on top of all of that. I have a hunch that sometimes people in America today that think they've got it all figured out would probably have a problem with Jesus. I'm really, really sure that they'd probably have a problem with the Apostle Paul. Amen? to the Jew first was the principle that was followed in the earthly ministry of Christ and in the early ministry of the church. And John the Baptist, for example, said he came to minister to the nation of Israel to prepare them for their Messiah. How many of you know they flunked that test? Come out, devil. Amen. God bless you. See, when Jesus began his ministry, it was only to the people of Israel. And when he sent out the apostles on their very first evangelistic mission, he ordered them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. And but this does not mean, I just gave you an example, it does not mean that he ignored individual Gentiles because he ministered to some of them, but the major emphasis was on Israel, was on the chosen ones of Israel. And after his resurrection, he commanded the apostles to remain in Jerusalem and begin their ministry right there. The period covered by Acts chapter 1 through chapter 7 is characterized by a ministry only to the Jews or the Jewish proselytes. It was not until Acts chapter 8 that the gospel begins to go to the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 10, it went to the Gentiles. And then through the ministry of Paul, it went throughout the entire Roman Empire. The gospel just began to migrate. How many of you know Jesus wants us to start right where we're at? He wants us to start right where we're at and minister right here. And when we get sufficient ground covered here, he wants us to go out a ways. And when we begin to take ground out a ways, and he said in Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth, right? So that's like Myrtle Creek, moving on to, you know, Canyonville, Riddle, Tri-City, Days Creek, Glendale, Medford, 10 Mile. You see, when we get taken, when we take care of us right here first, then God will begin to open other doors. Now, there are those of you that live in Camas Valley. Some of you live in Winston. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be ministering there. You should be ministering there. You should be declaring the gospel right there. You should be wherever you're at, wherever you're planted. That's where you should be presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then begin to move on from there. Is that right? So, after his resurrection, he commands them to remain in Jerusalem and start their ministry there. And then the question could be asked, and probably has been, was it selfish of God to emphasize the Jews? No, it really wasn't, because they were his chosen people. It was through the Jewish line that the Messiah was going to come. And he wanted to prepare those people for the Messiah when he did come. And when he did come, they blew it. They completely missed it. Because the Jews, he would send the good news of salvation. The first Christians, according to John chapter 4 and verse 22, were Jewish believers. It says salvation is of the Jews. And in the Old Testament, God chose Israel to be a minister to the Gentiles, but instead Israel copied the idolatrous ways of the Gentiles and had to be disciplined because of it. We've got to be careful what we mess with. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And everything about the world is trying to suck us in. And we've got to be very careful. Well, it's just not popular, you know, to be that starchy and that rigid and that committed to the church. It's just, it's that, you know. Well, tell that to Jesus. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, that's not talking about me. Well, are you a child of God? Well, yeah. Well, then it's talking about you. Amen? Go ye. Who's ye? Ye be ye. Ye be ye. So, in the New Testament, God has chosen Jewish believers to carry the good news to the Gentiles, and they obeyed Him. Listen to this progression in the promises that Paul quotes in Romans chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. Number one, the Jews glorify God among the Gentiles. The Jews glorify God among the Gentiles. You can look it up in Romans chapter 15 and verse 9, and it's a quote of Psalms chapter 18 and verse 49. The next one is the Gentiles rejoice with the Jews. That's Romans chapter 15 and verse 10, which is a quote of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 43. And the next one is all the Jews and Gentiles together praise God. Do you see the progression? The Jews glorified God among the Gentiles. The Gentiles rejoice with the Jews. Now all the Jews and Gentiles together are praising God. That's from Romans chapter 15 and verse 11, which is a quote from Psalms chapter 117 and verse 1. And then finally, Christ shall reign over Jews and Gentiles, Romans chapter 15 and verse 12, a quote from Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. Isn't that amazing? At one time, the Gentiles were without hope, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. But now, in Christ, they have a hope. Aren't you glad for Christ tonight? Aren't you glad that we have a hope in Him? He is our only hope. Not only do we as believers have hope, but we also have joy and peace and power, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. We have been endued with power, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When we're in one mind and in one accord, the power of the Holy Ghost will flood and saturate this place. The Holy Spirit of God shares these blessings with the children of God as we yield to Him. As we yield to Him. That's an interesting concept if you really just stop and think about it. Because it's one thing to share in the blessings of God. It's an entirely other subject to yield to what He has for us. We want all the blessings, but oftentimes we don't want to put forth anything in return for those blessings. We don't mind getting the milk from the cow as long as we don't have to pay for the hay. Hello? I would say it's oftentimes that people want to have their cake and eat it too, but really, what's the point in having a cake if you don't get to eat it? That never made much sense to me. Well, you just want to have your cake and eat it too. Well, it's not just decoration. It's filled with yumminess. I'm Bob. The good stuff. German chocolate with coconut frosting. Oh. Four layers. Oh. Big glass. I can paint you a picture. Oh. See, look at Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Some of the guys on Friday night said that they wished that the clock on the back wall would fall off and be broken, or take it down so that I wouldn't be so concerned about it. So if I go a little long, it's the men's, it's the those four men. It's those four men in the only group. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 12. I realize I'm taking probably a long time on some of this stuff, but I mean, it is, after all, Bible study. We're not in a race here. I'm trying to get something to stick on us that we can carry with us. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I mean, just forget it. I mean, just stop right there. What more do you need than verse 3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's blessed us. This isn't just talking about the church in Ephesus. This is written to the church, then and now. If He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if it's the same Holy Spirit that was amongst them, it's the same Holy Spirit that is amongst us. He blessed them, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Church, what do we lack? Nothing. We don't lack anything. Bill, He's blessed us with every spiritual, say it with me, every spiritual blessing. I don't know. I think if we would just learn how to get a hold of verse 3, everything else would just line out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you doubt your relationship with the Lord? Let me tell you something. He chose you before He even created this place. Scott, He chose you. He handpicked you. Before, I mean, I know why. You know why. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. But me? And you? We know each other a little bit. What in the world are you thinking about? Right? Before the foundation of the world, look, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved.
This is just getting better and better all the time. This just gets better and better. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which, by the way, He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. Say inheritance. What is significant about an inheritance? What? What's significant? Huh? I can't hear you. You get it without working for it? Somebody's got to die. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Isn't that amazing? If you're feeling down and out, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and start reading all the way through to verse 12, and by the time you hit 12, you should be feeling pretty good about yourself. I mean, the fact is, look over here in these other verses. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption by sons of by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, praise and glory, by which He's made us acceptable and beloved. We have redemption, forgiveness of sins. Anybody committed any sins? Ephesians chapter 1, there's been provision made for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen. We don't even have a clue how much He loves us. Do we? I mean, picture it. The love that He has. One of the funniest cartoons I ever saw shows this pompous lawyer reading a client's last will and testament to a group of greedy relatives. Buddy, when somebody dies, they do come out of the woodwork. And this lawyer's reading this this client's last will and testament to a group of greedy relatives, and the caption reads this: I, John Jones, being of sound mind and body, spent it all. Don't you know that was bumming out some cousins? Huh? See, when Christ wrote this last will and testament for His church, He made it possible for us to share in His spiritual riches. Do you know that if you go to the grocery store right now and buy a shopping cart full of groceries, they won't even give you a shopping bag to put it in? You can't pay for them. They ain't got them. None. They're done. Can't have them. No more grocery sacks. What? No, they don't. Some only because they haven't run out of them yet.
But as of the 15th, no more grocery bags. Listen, folks, if we can't recognize that things are going south in a hurry, we need to wake up. We need to press in to the things of God. We need to seek Him. Instead of spending it all, Jesus Christ paid it all. Isn't that amazing? Instead of spending it all, He paid it all for us. His death on the cross and His resurrection is what made it possible for you and I to have a hope in heaven. Because of what He did. He wrote us. Have you ever been written into somebody's will? Have you ever been written into somebody's will? Love setting you people up. Because you're all going, no. And I just told you. I just told you. You've been written into the will. You are grafted into the vine. He has given to you and I an inheritance. We might not have anybody writing us in their will here, but the one that matters has written us into His will. And we do have a heavenly inheritance, folks. And I'm telling you, it's going to be better than anything you're going to get if I write you into my will. I promise. You don't know that. You don't know that. See, He has written us into His will. And then, remember what I said about it? What did I say about an inheritance? He wrote us into His will, and then He died so that that will would be in force. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then, He rises again that He might become our heavenly advocate, our lawyer, to make sure that the terms of the will are correctly followed. I thought the trumpet was blowing there for a minute. I was like, Bob, what are you seeing out there, brother? Woo! Quit it. You guys are getting me messed up. I'm trying to be serious. Where am I at, Michelle? Oh, here we go. Yeah. Yeah. He rose again that He would become our heavenly advocate and make sure that the terms of the will are correctly followed. James calls us in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 to praise the Lord. He says, with it, bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. What's James talking about? Pardon me? The tongue. It's such a little member, but it boasts of such great things. It's strange that the tongue is able to speak praises to the Lord and the Father at one time, and then it breaks out into curses against other people. We ought to have the same attitude of respect for fellow human beings as we have for God, because they are created in His image.
Yet we have this horrible double-sided tongue so that the blessings and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. It's interesting to remember that in Proverbs it says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. When we're speaking, we have a choice to make. Am I going to speak life or am I going to speak death and destruction? Because you have the power in your tongue. Some people think that the only restraint against foul talk and calling people names and bad language is social disapproval, but the reality is God's Word condemns it. I've heard ministers say that foul language and coarse jesting is just they're just words. It's no big deal. No, the Bible says very plainly that we will be held accountable for those words. Not if you've asked for forgiveness. I'm talking about stuff that we're doing constantly all the time. Listen, if I smash my finger, I'm working on it. I'm way better than I ever used to be, but yeah, you know. Ron. Yeah, if you're running up a hill too fast, it can kick in. It can kick in. James says that the reason we should not curse people is because they have been made in God's likeness. They have been made in God's image. And in the end, the picture is given in Revelations of a vast throng of both saints and angels praising God continually. Our tongue should be used to praise and glorify God, to exalt and lift Him up, to build one another up in the most holy faith. Listen, we don't have to, as the church, we shouldn't be tearing people down. We should be building them up. The world is plenty capable of tearing us down and beating us up. Amen? I'm stopping because nobody took the clock down. Amen. Father, I'm grateful that You love us and that You literally have given us an inheritance. And Father, I pray tonight that God, we would use this tongue that You have given us to glorify You and to exalt You and to make You popular and to make You famous in our city, O God. Lord, that we would use our tongue and our inheritance to further the kingdom of God. And Lord, I just pray tonight, God, for this one that I talked to before service. And I pray, God, that You get a hold of their heart. I pray, God, that You would help people to understand that it's not the method, it is the message. The message is of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him born in a manger. And Father, I thank You for it, and I give You praise and glory. Lord, I pray for tomorrow's women, for their Bible study, and I pray, God, that You would rule and reign. God, that the sweet presence of Almighty God would fill this place. Saturate the women. God, that the ladies that come together would be in one mind and in one accord. God, that they would uphold one another. God, I pray for our men's group on Friday night. And I pray, God, that Your Word would go forth. God, that men would be raised up. Lord, not just to be better Bible scholars, but to be better men that know the Bible and how to understand it. And Father, I thank You for it. I look forward to next Sunday, O God. Not just because there's a potluck, but because, God, we're going to have another opportunity for somebody to come into this place to give their life to Jesus and to surrender to Him, Father. And I thank You, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd use me. God, use me to speak life into somebody on Sunday. And I give You all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you.
God go with you. Enjoy the warm weather. It's supposed to be like almost 90 on Friday. So.